Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And I'm back, Michael Cohen here on 1320 WILS. Well, on your mark, get set, start eating. That's what next week's Thanksgiving dinners are going to be like for many of us. But when we finally get around to working off those pounds, what are the best ways to really do that? To talk about obesity and weight loss, I'm joined by Dr. Larry Deutsch, a family physician and hypnotherapist with over 35 years of experience and the co-author of the new book, Calorie Wars, Fat, Fact, and Fiction. Welcome to the program, Dr. Deutsch.
Yes, thank you, Michael. Good evening to you.
Now, when it comes to losing weight and keeping it off, we're always told that we should focus on diet and exercise, although it seems that that approach doesn't seem to work for most of us, especially in the long run. Why is it generally so hard for Americans to stay at a healthy weight?
Well, it's a very good question, Michael. I think Americans are bamboozled by a lot of misinformation. I mean, generally, diets don't work. I think that the purpose of our book, Calorie Wars, Fat, Fact, and Fiction, was to kind of simplify and bring it back to common sense rules that really work and educate people. So there are only four things that you need to do if you want to be trimmer and healthier. You have to learn to eat less so that pig out on Thanksgiving, maybe you could enjoy your Thanksgiving meal, but not eat so much. You have to learn to choose well, picking foods that generally are satisfying without being super calorific. You have to learn to be active, lead an active life as opposed to a sedentary life. And you need to look at your relationship with food and see if you use food as a salve to cope with life's ups and downs and stresses. And if you can sit back and think about all four of those rules, and then commit to doing something about it, you have a pretty good chance of getting to a healthier weight. On the other hand, if you fall for this $40 to $50 billion weight loss industry, which tells you that some calories are different than others and some foods will burn fat and you have to buy a ton of nutraceuticals to assist you, or you have to follow this fad diet for 3 weeks or 4 weeks, generally, most people don't succeed, and it is not easy to lose weight, but it's not as difficult as you would think if you get the right plan in your head, and then you get motivated to do something about your health.
You know, it's interesting because I'm guessing a lot of people that have issues with weight, extreme issues, typically it has something to do with using food for some kind of an emotional gratification or emotional support. Although I can't help but think about children nowadays, because obesity is such an issue for kids, and typically they're in a state where they're being acclimated to eat, I guess, the way the adults and their parents are feeding them. I mean, how much of that is an underlying factor, just our habituation to eating a certain way?
Oh, I think it's a big factor. I mean, there's environmental factors, psychological factors, nutritional factors, and activity factors. Now, let's look at children. I mean, today's child spends 27 hours a week, that's an average, in front of a screen, either in front of a computer or a video game or a television. It's very different than when we were children. We had a lot more free and unstructured play, and you know, we had a lot more physical activity, and that plays a huge role. In addition, portion sizes are insane. When I was a kid, Coca-Cola was in a 6-ounce bottle, and it was a treat. You didn't have one. Once in a while, you had a Coke. It was a treat. My father would take us to the cafeteria, and that was our big treat, a small Coke. I mean, when you see what children are consuming now, small Cokes don't exist. I mean, they're 12, 16, 20 ounces. Children eat a lot more candy, I think, and parents are so busy that they don't really supervise their kids' meals. Everything is quick and fast, and generally things that are quick and fast are high energy and fatty, not necessarily fatty, but high calorie. So looking at children, what's going on with our kids is really critical, because we owe it to them, and as a physician, I don't want to see children become diabetic or just suffer the slings and arrows of being the fattest kid in the class. It's no fun, and it's gotten worse over the years. I think our society is kind of bizarre. It's very intolerant of variation in size and shape and personality.
Certainly. Well, I'm talking to Dr. Larry Deutsch, a family physician and a hypnotherapist, over 35 years of experience, a co-author of the new book, Calorie Wars, Fat Fact and Fiction. So I do want to ask you about hypnotherapy, a very interesting area, something I think most of us are not very familiar with. Does hypnotherapy work when it comes to eating problems and overeating?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think hypnosis and hypnotherapy is a very good way to amplify sound counseling. If you start with good science-based information and or counseling, and you relate well to your patients, and then they can willingly engage with you in a hypnotic session or process, then that counseling is going to be amplified. So that's its major advantage. It really amplifies your ability to respond to an idea, a rule, a procedure that you choose to respond to. It's not mind control. You can't make people vomit or can't make people do something they don't want to do. But it is a powerful tool. I use it a lot to help people stay focused on what they need to do and keep their priorities straight.
Now, I don't know a lot about hypnotherapy, although the movie Office Space certainly made it look like a great thing. To be hypnotized into being eternally happy would be a wonderful thing. Now, tell me, how does that work then? Why is hypnotherapy effective in a way that simply making a conscious decision or in a discussion or a decision on your own terms, why is hypnotherapy more effective somehow?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, it depends on how you define hypnosis. Let's start with a simple definition. Hypnosis is a focused state of attention, say, between us, and it's rather similar to meditation. It doesn't require that you be asleep or in a coma or unaware of what's going on. And yet, if you can do it with a person, then you will tend to respond more powerfully to the suggestions, directions, and instructions offered to you, provided two things are given. One is the S, D's, and I's, suggestions, directions, instructions, have to be given with your permission for your own benefit. And number two, the outcome that you're trying to achieve, whether it's weight loss or smoking cessation or relief of a flying phobia, has to be mutually desirable. So, for example, if you came to see me to stop smoking, it's not enough that I'm motivated to stop smoking for you as your doctor. What's really important is that you be motivated. And then the second element is, can I engage you? Do we trust each other? Is there a good rapport between us? And the third element is, are you very hypnotizable? Most people are hypnotizable, so they can benefit from hypnosis. But really, this kind of interaction between people goes on all the time. A football coach can be absolutely inspiring to a player to motivate him to do things and believe in himself. That's the type of hypnosis. It's not a formal hypnosis, and yet it's an engagement in which the person responds. So I've tried to answer your question in a brief way.
It's an interesting answer, and I thank you. Now, we only have a minute left, sadly, but I guess I wonder now, in terms of the power, though, I mean, this has to be way beyond just a motivational thing, because, I mean, if you're getting someone to stop smoking or to really stop overeating, that would be quite a powerful change. Isn't hypnosis a little more than just a simple suggestion of a sort?
Well, yes and no. I mean, you're mobilizing within a person their natural abilities to do something they want to do and how you do that. And hypnosis is a tool to do that. So, yes, you can say it's just suggestion. You can say it's more than suggestion. But at the end of the day, it's a way to mobilize a person's resources to achieve a goal by working with a hypnotist. And that's very successful very many times. And particularly successful when the structure of the hypnosis is scientifically based, not ridiculous.
Well, I think I want to have you on to talk about actual hypnosis on its own terms. I think this could be an interesting area to get into. Dr. Larry Deutsch, a family physician, a hypnotherapist, and the co-author of the new book, Calorie Wars, Fat, Fact, and Fiction. Dr. Deutsch, thank you very much for joining me.
Very good. Thank you very much, Michael. Have a great day.
You too.